You would turn with me today to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 19 through 21. Amen. The scripture says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us here today. Will you do that? Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every heart. Lord, you'll help each one, Lord God, to leave here with a different perspective. God, I pray that you'll help us here today, Lord, to grow, Lord, to become what you want us to be. In your precious name, amen. You can be seated. My title today is Think About This. And I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to think about this today. Think about this. Where is your real treasure? Think about this. Where is your real treasure? You can ask the question, what is a treasure? Well, that depends upon what you value in life. If you value fortune, your treasure depends on the standard of living and number of dollars that you have in the bank. If you value fame, your treasure depends on how many people you know, how many people that know who you are. If you value power, your treasure is determined by the number of people you have under your control. If you value a relationship, I mean, we can go on and on and on, folks. Most people consider their treasure a combination of fortune, fame, and power. And the amount of each varies. But your treasure is still described in terms of those things. You see, there are even introverts who do not care how many people know about them. They will often still define success in terms of being the best or at least extremely good in their personal interest, in their personal hobbies or their sports. The individual determines what is their treasure by what he or she personally values. What then is treasure to you? What do you personally value? Or what do you personally treasure? You see, if you want to know what you value or what you treasure, then ask yourself, where do you put your time? Where do you pour your energy into? What do you put your money into? The answer to those questions will tell you what you value or what you treasure in life. You see, the question of what you value in life is important. It's a very important question, and because the answer has eternal ramifications. When you read in Luke 12, Jesus tells a parable concerning how important it is that we seriously consider what is important in life. In Luke 12, verse 16 through 21, it said, "He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Listen to that. "And is not rich toward God." What's that tell you today? That we can be rich toward God. We can be rich in the things of God. You see, this rich man, folks, he valued the things of this earth. And he forgot about the fact that he would soon be facing eternity. This is what this parable is about here. He would be, he prepared well for things here on this earth. But he neglected to plan for that which was infinitely more important. Life in eternity is more important than what you have here. Folks, we have to understand, Jesus knows his creation, and his creation is man. God created us. Okay? I didn't roll up from some beach somewhere, live at the zoo for a while before I met my wife. Go on. She may think that sometimes of me, but I really didn't. You may think that of me. God knows us. And I want to help you today to understand how you can be rich toward God. Okay? A lot of times when we think about being rich, we think of monetary and driving a nice car and having a big fancy house and a nice sized bank account. And some of you, we should just dream about that. Can you say amen? But I want you to understand God knows some things, and God wants you to be rich toward him. And God wants to help you today. You see, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world, folks, and people have put their all their hopes in things of this world. And so few even consider that, you know, they consider Christians as they need a crutch. God is their crutch. The church is their crutch. See, God knows us. And with God's wisdom, he is full of wisdom. Jesus could speak into the heart of man to their issues. And today God wants to speak into your heart. He wants to speak into your heart about the issues that you're dealing with. And that's why I ask us to pray, to help God help us here to understand today. And God help me, Lord God, speak to me that I can be better towards you, richer towards you. See, God knows man's tendencies. God knows man's temptations and their trials. He understands these things. And even today, he knows all about you. There is not anything about you that Jesus does not know. There is nothing in your mind or life that can be hidden from him. So we ought to listen to everything that Jesus says. And on one occasion, he said this in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure. Is your treasure in heaven or is it upon earth? You see, when we read this passage, the first word that leaps out at us is treasure. Treasures are simply things that we value and that we want to have, we desire. We want to find them. We want to work for them. We want to keep them. We want to use them and share treasures. There are things here on earth that we value and want to possess. There are some basic things that we value and want to use, like food and clothing and shelter. We value food. We value clothing and shelter. We work from day to day in order to have these things. And it is considered normal. It is considered wise to buy groceries, not just for today, but for days ahead. And beyond the basics in our day and age that we live in, folks, there are other things that we value and we want to possess. We'd all want a means of transportation. Amen? Various methods of communication. We like to be able to communicate all kinds of things, from necessary things to nice things we desire. And there are things that we treasure here on earth. We work to have them and store them up for future use. Treasure are simply things we value and want to have. And while we live on the earth, there are certainly treasures we have here. But that's not only all right. It is necessary. We need food and shelter and transportation and things of that nature. We need those things. Jesus says there are treasures in heaven, though. We are all well aware of the treasures that we have on earth. The things that we value, the things that we need to have for our existence on this earth. But there's another kind of treasure today. I hope you get hold of this. Jesus says there are treasures in heaven. There are things which are more valuable than food. There are things that are more valuable than clothing and shelter. There are commodities far more precious than transportation and houses and electronic devices of communication, folks. Treasures in heaven. Things that we should value. Things that we should want to have because they come from God. They bring us close to God. They make us better people and prepare us for eternity after death here on earth. And one way to look at this is there are things that we need here on earth, things we value and want to have. But what about when this earth is gone? What about after we die? We all know people that have died and left things. Something maybe they treasured and kept and hoarded or whatever it is, but it's no longer theirs. So you can't take it with you. You've heard the old saying, you'll never see a U-Haul truck in a funeral procession. Right? What about after we die? There are things beyond this earth that we ought to value and want. And there are things which will exist after death and after this earth is gone. There are things that will still exist. And those blessings from God are called treasures in heaven. And the more we think about this, the more obvious it is. The treasures of earth lie in the realm of places and things and material commodities and worldly values and tangible and temporal things. But the treasures of heaven lie in the realm of the spiritual and forgiveness and fellowship with God, the power of prayer, the development of character and moral excellence, the love of God and the brethren, the hope of heaven. I'm talking about treasures in heaven. Now the whole problem that we sometimes called materialism has to do with our fascination with earthly treasures over heavenly treasures. We should want these treasures from God, these spiritual. We need to learn to forgive. That's a heavenly treasure. We need to learn how important fellowship with God is and fellowship with each other is. That's why we do the things that we do with our small groups and stuff, because fellowship is important. But folks, when you have that fellowship with God, it's so necessary. The power of prayer. That's a heavenly treasure. Amen? The development of your character and your moral excellence. We need to be concerned. You know, I've talked to people about their, we all have these, you know, these things that we live by and, you know, mom and dad taught them to you. And there's just certain things that you won't do or that you will do because you believe in it and it was pounded into you. You need to add to that. Amen. You need to add to those things. Maybe there's some that you need to get rid of. You know, the thieves say, you know, there's some things that thieves won't do. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, man, when I was stealing stuff, I would never steal from a church. There's just some things some people won't do because they were taught. You see what I'm saying? There's a word, I can't think of it right now, but honor, well, that word's honor among thieves. But there are certain moral standards and things that you're taught. It may be few. But you can add to those things in your life. And when you look to serving God, and you begin to, God begins to speak to your heart when there's something that maybe you used to do, and one day you go to do it and you feel conviction. I'm talking about developing your character, developing your moral excellence. Amen. Whenever it was that you were born into this life, this Christian life, amen, things need to start changing. It's called that renewing that mind of Christ. Amen. You're replacing your old way of thinking and thinking like God. Adding to your character, adding to your moral excellence. Then you need to have the love of God. And when you have the love of God in you, folks, you will love your brother and sister in the Lord. Amen. So we need to have the love of God and the love of brethren. And when you have these things, you have a hope of heaven. Amen. That's a treasure, because let me tell you something. You know why people kill themselves? Because they feel they have no more hope on this earth. Everything is going to be the same. I'm sick of it. I don't want to live another day like this. They have no hope of tomorrow. That's a treasure to have. Amen? That's a treasure to have, a hope of heaven, a hope of a life beyond this. And so the whole problem that we sometimes call materialism has to do with our fascination of the earthly things, earthly treasures, over the heavenly treasures. It's so true, folks. The whole problem when we walk or when we talk about materialism over worldliness, materialism and worldliness, is our fascination with earthly treasures, because it's so easy to see things. All right? When we see nice homes, when we see nice cars, when we see these things, it's like, wow. But we need to develop a relationship with God and say, God, help me to understand and see the importance of heavenly treasure. And now that we see this in some perspective, I want to talk about the Lord's prohibition. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, is God saying, don't have a house, don't have a car, don't put food in your refrigerator and in your pantry? Is it? No, he's not saying that. When you read in the NIV version, it is played. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, I think this may be one of those cases where it's necessary to talk about what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that we must not think about, plan, or save for the future. Okay? We are not to worry about the future. Later in this chapter, the Lord says in verse 34, it says, do not worry about tomorrow. We are not to become distracted, folks, from present duty by some preoccupation with the future. But good stewardship and regard for the needs of your family will require some thinking, some planning, some saving for the future. So many people don't even think about tomorrow. What do you mean, Pastor? Folks will take their rent money, their utility money, and spend it on stuff because all they can think about is what I want now. And then they'll come and beg you to help them. I have seen it. And I've told my wife sometimes, that stuff blows my mind. How that people are so demanding for right now. I'll take something that I've promised to somebody else. I've signed a paper that I'll pay my car payment. You promised them. When you signed that paper, you promised them you would pay them that every day that month, on that certain day. And if you don't, you're lying. When you tell that landlord you'll pay that rent, or that bank you'll pay that payment, and you don't do it, you're wrong. Now, things happen. We all know that. So something happens, comes up every now and then. But I'm talking about people who do this on it because they don't care. All they think about is what I want now. Me and the kids want to go to Cedar Point. So I'm going to spend my rent money. I'll get it later. Think it doesn't happen? You're crazy. We have to think ahead. But so many don't. So we have to be good stewards, and we have to regard for the needs of your family. We have to require thinking, planning, saving for the future. See, Jesus isn't telling us to ignore the needs tomorrow. That would be unwise. But in fact, in at least two of the Lord's parables, he commends to us the action of making plans for tomorrow. The parable of the talents and the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16. So he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Does not mean that we are forbidden to have money and earthly possessions. In fact, in fulfilling our responsibility to ourselves, our families, the needy, in supporting the Lord's causes, folks, it is necessary to work. It's necessary to have income and be a possessor of earthly things. It's necessary. But God never tells us that it is sinful to have income. He never says that. To have money, to possess earthly things. He never says it's sinful to do that. In the Bible, you do not find a rich man being punished merely because of his wealth. You don't find that. In today's thinking, a lot of people thinking, rich people are worthless and they're ruthless and on and on. That's wrong. Because I asked people the question. You ever work for a poor man? Did anybody here work for a poor man? Huh? No. And I promise you, if you were able to have wealth tomorrow, you would take it. So when people have attitudes toward rich people, that's envy, jealousy. That's how I look at it. In most cases, most people work for what they have. Some inherited and shouldn't have, but they did. Come on. We've all probably dealt with people who inherited things that they weren't taught how to handle. I've seen people with money run their business right into the ground because they were never taught. They were always given whatever they wanted. But see, God doesn't punish people just because they're rich. And you will find, money is not the problem. It's the misuse of it is the problem. Money is not the problem. Our love of it is the problem. So we shouldn't be hindered or confused by these shallow and unjustified conclusions. So when the Lord said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, he was not saying that we must not think, plan, or save for the future. He was not forbidding us to have money and possess earthly things. The crux of this teaching is captured by the word treasure. Treasures are simply things we value and therefore want to have. Heavenly things are so much more valuable than earthly treasures. We ought to want heavenly things and labor for heavenly things and treasure heavenly things far more than we do earthly things. So, do you desire and ask God to help you to learn to forgive people as much as you ask God to bless you financially so you can have a nice house? Come on. Do you ask God to help you to love him and to love your brother or sister in the church far more than you ask God to help you to get a nice car? See what I'm talking about? What do you treasure more? This is what God's trying to point out here today. What do you treasure more? We want God to bless us, and you know, we want to take care of our families. But let me tell you, it is very important to teach your family to forgive one another, to forgive brothers and sisters, to forgive people, your neighbors. It's very important to teach them to love one another. Do we do that? You see what I'm trying to say here this morning, folks? These things that God asks us to do, to love one another, to forgive one another, to help one another, to be there for one another, all these kind of things, that should be your number one prayer to God. What do you treasure? And if you're not asking God to help you to do these things, then that is not your treasure. But what does God hear from you? You know. God, I need this. I need that. I need this. I got to have a better job. See, we ask God for these things sometimes, but we don't appreciate what we do have. So why should God give you something better? And then when we see God sees us that we're not desiring the things of Him, from Him, we're not putting His kingdom first, then why should God bless you with other things? See, God, in any promise that God has ever given, it's all predicated with if. If you will do this, this, and this, then I'll give you this. And if God is going to bless you with something, there's also, you know, to bless you with your need, but there's also another thing behind it with God. If I give you this, how are you going to bless the kingdom of God? Come on. See, that's why, you know, I've always believed this, and I've taught it to my boys and stuff. You don't take a job that's going to keep you out of church. Because I don't believe that's what God wants. If your job keeps you out of church, I don't believe God wants you there. You can agree with me. Well, I don't care. I know I'm right. You want to say amen now? Come on. God blesses you with things to bless His kingdom. First. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. I've lived by that verse for years, folks. You know it. You guys know that verse. When you hear Matthew 6:33, you know that's pastor's verse. If you want the blessings from God, put Him first. Where are your treasures? So, when you look at this teaching here today, we're talking about treasure. What is important to you? If it's things in your life that are going to keep you from doing the things of God, I don't think that's where God wants you. Well, that's the only job I could find. Really? You don't trust your God that much? And we go on down the line. You can go relationships, your hobbies. You know, some people like their camping trips and stuff. Well, does it take away from God? Do you take vacations away from the things of God? Well, I'm tired of the people at church. I'm going to take a vacation for 3 weeks. God help you. Come on now. Treasures are simply things we value and therefore we want to have. Heavenly things are so much more valuable than earthly things, folks. Think about it. What are you teaching your children, parents? What are you teaching your grandchildren, grandparents? We ought to want heavenly things and labor for heavenly things and treasure heavenly things far more than earthly things. And the point of what Jesus is saying is He isn't saying that we should not plan for the future on this earth. He isn't saying we shouldn't have money. Or the use of money. He's not saying that. It's not a statement against having nice things. This is about what's more valuable. You ever just walk around your house and I've done this before and praying and say, God, thank you for letting me use this house. You ever get in your car, smell like a locker room, and say, thank you, God, that I can drive this car? Why does it smell like a locker room? Because you hauled people to church in it. Come on. What's more valuable? Is it your You won't have fellowship in your house because you're afraid things get broke? Is it your house? Is it your stuff or is it God's? My wife has always lived by the analogy, if something gets broke, it's a memory. Whenever I look at that, if it's not crumbled to pieces, you can just throw it. But every time you look at it, if you glue it back together, oh, I had so-and-so over and this got broke. It was a nice time. One time we had my family comes for Thanksgiving. It's my house is packed. And somebody set my wife's tray or her teacups and all this stuff down on the floor to use a certain table or whatever. And so I moved it and when I picked it up, the handles just came out of it. And everything crashed. And a house of 40-some people went instantly silent. And I was upstairs. They heard this throughout the house. I mean, instantly. And they all looked at my wife. Like, oh, well. And I'm up there. Ah! It wasn't even my stuff. She come flying up them stairs. I'm like, I can't believe this because it's no big deal. Because it's nice to have, but it's not that valuable. And you know what? Nobody in my family ever forgets that day. Ever. So, listen, what is more valuable to you? Do you learn, ask God, if you have a problem with forgiving things, do you ask God, Lord, help me to forgive? God, help me to love you more than my stuff. Help me to seek the things of God more. Heavenly things are so much more valuable than earthly treasure. We ought to want heavenly things, and we ought to labor for heavenly things. What time do you give to God and the things of God? Now, I mean, we'll work our jobs, folks, and you should. I think you ought to work a job as unto the Lord. You ought to be diligent in working your jobs. I taught my boys things my dad taught me. If you can't find something to do, grab a broom and push the dirt. If they still ain't giving you anything to do, push it back. I taught them, you work hard. But what do you give to God? Do you teach Bible studies? Do you talk to your neighbors about the things of God? Do you live a life at work so that your coworkers will think you're a godly person? Do you invite people to your home? What do we do in laboring for God? When there's things going on at the church, working on the church, do you come? Oh, it's getting quiet. Maybe I park here a little bit. Should I park here? If you want me to go on, you better be amen me. Come on. What's more valuable? I'm asking you today. I'm asking you to think, where is your treasure? Again, I'm not against nice things. But where's your treasure? Now, many of you think I have you've all said it, my home's beautiful, and I've done a lot of work on that crazy house. Okay? But I had an attic that I turned into my master suite, but it took me 8 years because I was over here working. You see what I'm saying, folks? Yeah, I wanted that thing finished, and I finished it out nice, and so you've seen it. So what? But I wanted some things for God done first. I finally got to it. Now I'm so old, I can't hardly climb up there anymore. I need an elevator or something, or a one-floor house. I don't know. The old niece, they take the lower room. Heavenly things are so much more valuable. And we ought to want those things. We ought to want those things, folks. Treasure heavenly things far more than earthly things. Matthew 6, 19, 21 again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe it? You think God is speaking to you here today? You see, if earthly treasures are your priority, if you have to have money and possessions and status and earthly treasures, And get most of these things, they help you to get this attention that you need. And you pour your time and your energy into these folks. Jesus said, you got a big problem. If this is what you focus on, you've got a big problem. The treasures of this earth do not last. They are subject to things like moths. They are subject to things like rust. I hate rust. There are things, they're subject to covetousness. People see you have nice things, so they want it. And they'll break in and get it. The things of this earth have no permanence, no durability, and we cannot take them with us. So it makes sense to devote your whole heart and your whole life to something that will, or it doesn't make sense, I'm sorry, if you devote your whole life to things that's going to disappear eventually. You have to work on things, not, you know, if you want a car to stay around for a long time, you got to constantly work on it. Come on. I just had my work car in the shop, and they put a new tailgate on it because it rusted. Opened my wife's car, our family driving car, and I see rust on the door. I'm like, I got to take this back to the... It's not that old. But they will deteriorate if you don't take care of them. And some people get tired of cars. Well, if you had a horse, you have to feed it, all that other kind of junk. There's always something you got to do to take care of what we have. My house is always, I get one thing fixed, find something else needs fixed. Welcome to home ownership. Can't just call the landlord. Of course, I never wanted the landlords there anyway, so I fixed all kinds of things. They don't last, folks. But heavenly things do. Learning to love and appreciate and do the things of God. Those things last. Those are the things that make you happy. So we don't want to devote ourselves to things that are just going to go away anyways. The better way of life is to store up for yourself treasures in heaven. That means invest your time, invest your energy into something that will last. Work for money and use money wisely and plan to as best you can for your family and things here on this earth. But let your main concern be the heavenly treasures which are not subject to decay and cannot be stolen. Let me tell you something. Thieves cannot break in and steal your belongings, or they can break in and steal your belongings, but they cannot steal your character. Come on. They cannot remove the love of God from your heart. They cannot take you as hostage out of the kingdom of God, folks. The Lord is saying to us, if your treasures are limited to this earth, I can tell you the whole story of those things in three words: moth, rust, and theft. Things on this earth. That's the whole trouble with things of this world. We can be absolutely certain that someday we will not have them. We will lose them. Earthly treasures, things, persons, places, positions, favor, finances, relationships, never last. They never fully satisfy you. You know, you always want something different. I've known people over the years, they start a hobby and do this, and they do it for a while, and they get bored with it, then they try something else. I had a man give me a nice guitar one day, and I said, why? He says, I just got tired of it. He saw me playing a guitar one day, he's like, oh, you need to play that more often. I said, well, it's not mine. Well, whose is it? I said, well, it's my pastor's guitar. Next thing you know, he brought me this guitar. And it was a hobby for him, but he got tired of it. Things that we have, I'm tired of it. These things never meet our real needs. There is always something missing. And has this ever happened to you folks? You've worked and tried something, and this is great for the time, and you tell everybody about it. Next thing you know, you're not doing it anymore. You get something that you had a craving for the moment. You get it. and then later on you're disappointed with it. You ever drive down the road and see people have campers parked off and there's grass all around them? Huh? For a while it was great, and then they just got tired of it. Or boats, had to have a boat. And after a while, it's sitting there, all dull. They haven't shined it in forever. You know what I'm talking about. It's all right for a while. It was fun while it lasted. So many of the earthly treasures that we crave and we work for, get excited. They're nice, but there's always something lacking. And if you place those things, earthly things, above heavenly things, earthly treasures are attractive, but they don't satisfy. They never deliver all that we expected. There is nothing as changeable and temporary as human taste. One minute we like this, the next minute, nah. And we get something, and before we've had it that very long, and the joy runs out, and it's... I'll try to get to it here in a week or two. I'll try to do it maybe next month. And after a while, we have lost all interest. Isn't this the way we've... Folks, isn't it why we have garages and attics and basements full of stuff? Huh? We got it packed full because... Oh, I remember when I used to do this. You know, when you go start cleaning it out. That was fun at the time. Why'd you stop? I don't know. I just got tired of it. Huh? That which occupies our interest and attention this year will probably bore you next year. So, hey, remember we did this? Let's go do that. I've moved beyond that. Our earthly interests are constantly fluctuating. And this is another problem that when we invest our time and our energy in things in this world. If earthly treasures is your priority, if money and possessions and status and earthly treasures get most of your attention, time and energy, Jesus said you've got a big problem. Now this is very important. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think about it, folks. That which we treasure has great power over us. There's a t-shirt I read. I saw it on the computer somewhere, so it has to be true. It says, if they don't have chocolate in heaven, I ain't going. And you know how I like chocolate, folks. But I wouldn't wear this t-shirt. But it's still kind of interesting. Maybe that was written to overstate a point. Or just for the sake of humor. I don't know. But it illustrates what the Lord is talking about. That which we treasure has great power over us. I just get these cravings for chocolate. And I just have to get a little piece. I do. I'm just being honest. I love chocolate. Dark chocolate. Man, that's awesome. M&M's. My. I hope they're in heaven. I really do. I really, really do. But it may be a certain kind of misbehavior that we treasure. It may be our career that we treasure. It may be a hobby or a person or a place or a thing that we treasure. And that which we treasure, folks, has great power over us. It draws us like a magnet. It exercises a tremendous grip of influence over us. And the obvious message is, we should treasure spiritual realities far above any kind of treasure this world has to offer. Spiritual realities, things like I mentioned earlier, like forgiveness and fellowship with God and people, His people, and the power of prayer and the development of character and moral excellence in our lives, the love of God and the love of our brothers and sisters, the hope of heaven, the honoring of Christ in all that you do. Our lives should be governed, folks, by our affections for these things that God has showed us here today, and these things that God has made available to us through His gospel. Yes, we have to earn money, and we have to use money. We have to have food. We have to have shelter. We have to have transportation and health care and all these things. But, folks, we can have nice things and save money. But our heart, folks, our heart ought to be controlled by the heavenly treasures. Amen. Spiritual blessings which cannot be touched by moth, the rust, or robber. There's a song that says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I want to know if you could say that today, folks. If you lost everything today, would you still love Jesus? And you say, well, why do you ask that, Pastor Roberts? Because I'll tell you what, folks, in pastoring over the years, I've seen people that have lost far less than everything in their life, and they get mad at God over it. Maybe it's a relationship that they wanted so bad and they didn't get it and they're mad at God about it. Maybe it's a certain job that they wanted or that they lost, that they had been working for years and tried to be a good employee and they lost it and they get mad at God about it. Or maybe it's a relationship, whatever it may be, folks, I've seen them get mad at God over far less than losing everything. And you didn't treasure the things of God if you can get angry at God. You know, I've made the example of a pacifier. Many, many parents give them to their kids. We never like to give them to them, but a lot of parents do, and that's fine, whatever. But when you take, look at the work trying to take that away from them when it comes time. Because if you don't work hard at trying to take it away from them, they'll be sucking on that thing when they're 16 years old. And there's a time comes when every parent says, you know what, I need to get rid of that thing. And they start by hiding it, trying to hide it so the kid don't, because the other time when they see it, I want it, right? And that's how God does things in our life. God gives us things. And we get angry at God because, you know, this was mine. You gave it to me, God. Now you're taking it back. Well, just like that pacifier. Anybody ever have a pacifier when you was a kid? Aren't you glad they took it away from you? I don't think your husband would like you. Huh? You wouldn't like her to have that thing right now, would you, bro? I didn't think so. But aren't you glad that her mama saw a time that she needed to take it from her? That's how God is with us. God says, look, I gave it to you, but right now I got something different. And you've matured, and it's time for me to bless you with something different. So if you'll just give me that right now, or I'm going to take it from you, whether you like it or not, because I deem it's important for your life. Is there anybody here that believe God knows best? Huh? Do you believe God knows best for us? You know, and listen, now, I know many of you may not like to admit it, but you knew your parents when you were young. They're idiots. They just don't get it. But then when you got older, like, they were pretty smart. Come on. We all have to learn that way. And you know what? It's a good thing to know that about God. God knows best for me. And we don't understand why that job just disappeared. We don't understand why that relationship just fizzled out. We don't understand these things, folks. And we get mad at God. We're so spoiled. But if you lay your treasures in the right place, folks, I'm telling you, if you get your priorities straight and say, the things of God, I have to have these treasures, and they have to be more important in my life, because if I have these treasures that God wants me to have, then it doesn't matter what these treasures are, because I know in the God that I serve. I know He cares for me. I know He's going to take care of me. If the treasures of this earth have a grip on you, and if you are killing yourself to gain these things, And desire more of these treasures, and complacency about the spiritual things that slowly sets in. Hear me what I'm saying? If you're constantly seeking after the earthly things, folks, and you're working so hard to have this, and working so that there's this complacency that sets in, and you start by little bit of time, less and less worrying about the things of God. You have to understand, I must have these. I must do the things of God. I must have to work on a better character of myself. I must learn to be able to forgive somebody for something they've done. And you can go on down the line, folks. You will live a happier life. Some people work so hard for the things of the earth, and they get mad at everybody for the least little thing. What a life. That's no kind of way to live. I mean, come on. Me and my wife have been going on November 35 years, and we get mad at each other. I hate being mad at her. We get mad at each other, don't we? Tell the truth. So you folks have never experienced the wrath that I have. I promise you that. I promise you. But I get mad at her. And I hate it. You should hate being upset at somebody. Come on. But some people love it. They'll hang on to that for months, years. They won't apologize for anything. And you're absolutely miserable if you be honest with yourself. And that's why God doesn't want you to live that way. So don't get yourself complacent on the things of God. I'm telling you, if you're missing church and you're not there, you're being complacent about the things of God, you need to say, God, whatever it takes, help me to get back to the house of God on a faithful basis. So, folks, you work hard and you work for these things, but nothing has real sustenance that will last you after death, except for the things of God. It's absolutely tragic, folks, when the treasures of this earth have us in their grip. Stand with me. It's absolutely tragic when the things on this earth, the treasures on this earth, have a grip on us, and we show God where our heart is. Think about it. You're showing God where your heart is. If you desire the things of this earth more than the things of God, we must seek after God. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Well, I want it yesterday. And that's how we are. That's that microwave society we live in. I want it now. Right now. God knows what's best for you. There were things that I sought after as a young man, and God just closed the door. And I look back on those things. And I said, if I would have got that, I wouldn't be pastoring here today. I was after a gas station once. My dad used to, when he was younger, ran a couple gas stations, and I just thought that was the neatest thing. And I was doing everything in my power to get that. And I would have had some royalties from a hotel next door and all this kind of stuff. And God shut the door. I promise you, if I would have got that, I wouldn't be here today. And I'm so glad that God, amen, that God got a hold of me. And I wanted the things of God. And I sought the things. I asked God for, when God met my wife, I had asked God before that. I said, God, I want a wife that loves you as much as I do or more. And I met my wife. God knows what he's doing, folks. God will bless you. He wants to bless you. But he wants to see that the things that you want are going to bless his kingdom. If God has blessed you with a job, you don't pay your tithes, shame on you. You're using something that God has given you, and you won't even bless his kingdom. And I go down the list. Like I said, if your job keeps you out of church, shame on you. God will bless you to be faithful to his things. He wants you to be faithful to his things. Come on, now listen. Come on, parents. You want your children, when they're grown up, you want them to come around for holidays and stuff, right? And you bend over backwards to make things right so they come.
Well, God wants you in the house of God. He wants you to do the things that He wants. Are we a family of God? God knows what's best for us. God knew I didn't need that gas station. Come on. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen.